Well, good morning.
Morning.
Good to see everyone. Thank you for the beautiful music. We love to hear you sing, and we can feel the love you have for the Lord as you sing. It's great to be with you again. Freddie and I are getting settled in our home in Georgia. If you've ever moved anywhere, you know that that's a process that seems to never end. Lots of cardboard boxes, but we are kind of on the end of that part. So we're looking forward to getting settled more and getting into the flow of life. The place where we live is a Del Webb community. It's a very active 55-plus community. That means everybody there is either 55 years or older, and some of us who are there are quite a bit older than 55. But we're glad to be there, but we're happy to come back once a month at least and be with you and see family and friends. It's just so good to be together. Well, this morning I would like for us to think about combining your inner life of faith with your outer life of service. All through God's Word, we will see references in Scripture about the importance of that. Even in Micah, back in the Old Testament, one of the prophets, you know, he was talking about, you know, how can we please the Lord? Shall we bring 10,000 rams to offer burnt sacrifices? And he lists several of those. We talked about this a few weeks ago. But then Micah says, he has shown you what the Lord wants you to do, and that is to do justice and love mercy and walk humbly with your God. So it's very important for us to know the Lord and love the Lord and have a strong faith. The inner self is very important. But God is also very eager for us to couple that with deeds of service in the world, that people might see that we love the Lord Jesus and then give God the glory. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew 5. Verses 13 through 16. And I want us to look at that as our focus verses today. And you'll notice that verse 16 says, in the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and give glory to your Father in heaven. So the Lord Jesus is saying to us, it's very important about that you take care of your inner self. But it's also very important that you show your faith, you demonstrate your love for God through meaningful acts of service. We'll see this combination here in Matthew 5. The first 12 verses of Matthew 5, the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, focus on what we call the Beatitudes. I know you've heard that word before, the Beatitudes. And that word, beatitude, is a word based on Latin that talks about blessing. Blessed is the person who does these things. And notice there in these beatitudes that it's internal mostly, the poor in spirit. We need to be willing to mourn with those who are sad. Blessed are the humble. Blessed are those who are hungering and thirsting for righteousness, the merciful, the pure in heart, peacemakers, and blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, and so forth. The Beatitudes. Chuck Swindoll wrote a book one time about the Beatitudes, the first 12 verses of Matthew 5, and he changed the word Beatitude a little bit, and the title of the book is The Beatitudes. It's what you should be in your deep in your heart. You need to be these things. The internal self is very important. But then, right after that, in verses 13 to 16, Jesus gets real practical. And he says, if you are this kind of person that we find there in verses 1 through 12, then it needs to show in the world. People need to see your faith in action. So we need to put our attitude into action. And that's what I want us to talk about now. So in Matthew 5, 1 through 12, it's attitude, internal self. But in Matthew 5, 13 to 16, it's action. So that's what I want us to look about today as we consider this very important passage of Scripture. So what we're talking about is identity and activity. Who are you, and how are you going to show who you are by the way you live your life? So, Jesus, in getting real specific about this, uses the images of salt and light. So let's talk about that today. Salt and light. How can we put our faith into action in ways that would help people see the Lord Jesus Christ and love Him? Well, it's a matter of salt and light. So I've given the title to my message this morning, since we're talking about action, activity, pass your salt and share your light. When you have lunch here in a little bit, are you looking forward to lunch? Just about a half hour, we'll go to lunch. And when you are at the table and somebody's with you there, you might say, would you please pass the salt? How many of you like salt? You like salt? Do some of you eat too much salt? Well, you know, doctors tell us we shouldn't eat too much, but a little bit is really good.
Yes.
Salt and light, very, very important in our world. Let's talk about that. The first thing I want us to see that Jesus is saying here in these verses, Matthew 5, verses 13 to 16, is that Christ followers must be salt. You must be salt, and you must pass your salt to somebody else. Let's talk about that. You know, salt is very valuable. In the first century, salt was very valuable because many times people were paid in salt. In fact, the word salt is where we get our word salary, money, our payment. So in the first century, salt was how people got paid. If they didn't get a coin, they got salt. Very valuable. Salt is really important for us, and I want us to see how salt can be used, how salt can really help us put our faith into action. So what does salt do? That's what we're focusing on. So what does salt do? Well, first of all, salt flavors. How many of you think things taste better with a little bit of salt? Yeah? Yeah, if you have scrambled eggs, do you put a little salt on your eggs? Yeah, salt is important. It flavors. Well, and likewise, Christ is wanting us to add Christ flavor to the world. As Christians, we need to go out into our world and add a spiritual flavor to life to help people come to know the Lord and to really experience what Christ is all about. Salt flavors. Secondly, salt preserves. Salt preserves. For instance, in the first century, and in fact into the early 20th century, a lot of people used salt to preserve meat. If you have a country ham, you might sugar cure it, but you also might salt cure it. It helps preserve the meat. Before refrigeration, salt was very important to preserve meat. Well, in likewise, Christ is wanting us to have a preservative influence in our culture, in our world. You know, if meat doesn't have salt on it, especially without refrigeration, it will rot. It will soon become inedible. And what the Lord is saying to us, in our culture, there can be some culture rot going on. And what the Lord is wanting us to do as Christians is go out into our world and help preserve the important things that God wants to preserve in this world. His will, His word, His truth, His justice. And we as followers of Christ need to help preserve that. so that our culture does not rot. Well, not only does salt flavor and preserve, but salt permeates. It is active. If you put salt on the surface of some meat, it will penetrate into the core of that meat. And so salt is active. And here we go back to that action word. And so Christ is saying, as my followers, I want you to go out into this world and permeate the culture. Let your faith sink into the culture around you. Have an impact on the world around you. Well, not only does salt permeate, but salt heals. H-E-A-L-S. Salt heals. And when you have had a toothache, or you maybe had a tooth pulled, have you ever gargled salt water?
Yes.
Yeah, have you done that?
Yes.
Yeah? You gargle salt water. Why? Because the salt can help heal something in your mouth. In hospitals, do you use saline solutions?
Yes.
Freddie's a nurse, and many of you are doctors or nurses. You're in medicine. Mm-hmm. You know the importance of saline. And so, again, it's an active agent to bring healing in a person's life. And Christ is wanting us, as his salt, to go out into this world and bring healing. There is a lot of pain in this world that is not physical, isn't there? Emotional pain, spiritual pain, moral struggles. And the Lord Jesus Christ is asking us to go out into this world and bring healing where there is hurt, to bring soothing where there's pain, to bring help where there is helplessness. Therefore, put your faith into action and let your life be like salt in this world. Salt, very, very important. Salt flavors, salt preserves, salt permeates, and salt heals. See how active it is? So pass your salt. Secondly, light. Look at what he says about light there in the scripture. You are the light of the world. First he said, you are the salt of the earth. Now he says in verse 14, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. Your scripture might say under a bushel, but Jesus is saying, don't cover your light up. Let your light shine. Let it be active in a dark world. Let your faith be like light in this world. Again, Jesus is saying, you are light. That's who you are. That's internal. You are light. You are salt. You are light. And then he's saying, let your light shine. Don't just keep the light inside of yourself. Let it shine in this world. So let's talk about, what does light do? Well, there are a few things that light does. First of all, light banishes darkness. How many of you enjoy walking around in the dark? When the sun goes down and your house gets dark, do you turn on a light? Sure you do. I mean, we can really get hurt if we walk around in the dark. Well, you know, there are a lot of people in this world who are walking in darkness. And the scripture talks about that. That people without the Lord are in spiritual darkness. They need the light of Christ Jesus in their lives. And there might be some people in your home or in your neighborhood, in your country, in China. And there may be some people who are really struggling. They're walking in darkness and they need your light. They need the light of Jesus Christ in their lives. Light banishes darkness. In the first century, darkness was a big issue because they didn't have electricity. So how did they light their homes in the first century? What they use? Oil lamps or candles. They had a few candles, but oil lamps usually. And even that, though, didn't give a lot of light, did it? And so they had to carry it around with them so they would have light where they were going. Light banishes darkness. Secondly, and likewise, light guides people. Light guides people. Jesus knew that people needed light for guidance. And even though their light from those oil lamps didn't go out very far, just a few feet, if they would keep the light with them, they could safely make it from one point to the other. They were guided by the light. You probably remember in the story of the wise men during the time of the birth of Christ. Remember the wise men? What did they follow? The light of a star. It was the light of the star that guided them to the Christ child. God is always wanting to provide light. And in Jesus Christ, we find him to be the light of the world, isn't he? And it's important for us to follow his guidance. But it's also important for us to guide others. Jesus wants us to be spiritual lighthouses. Do y'all like to look at lighthouses? Freddie and I, when we travel, we like to see a lighthouse. A lot of people take pictures of them. Sometimes they paint them. Lighthouses. You know how important those are. If you are on a ship out in the ocean, and that's your only way of staying safe, wow, a lighthouse is very important. And Jesus is saying to you and to me, be a spiritual lighthouse. Be a guiding light for those who are stumbling in the dark. Not only does light banish darkness and guide people, but thirdly, light reflects its source. Light reflects its source. When you see light, you know it comes from something. When you see a light of a candle, you know it comes from that wick. When you look at the moon, you know that the moon, the light of the moon, has a source. What is the source of moonlight? The sun. The moon is a reflector of the sun. Jesus is calling on you and me to be his light as a reflector of the S-O-N, sun. To be a reflector. So if we know and love the Lord Jesus Christ, he wants our life to be a reflector of his light out into this world that people might know him and give him glory and trust him as Savior and Lord. Be a reflector of the light. Fourthly, light reveals choices. When you're driving at night and you have your headlights on, those lights help you choose your route, which direction you're going to go, how to get to your destination. And as you know, as you're driving, you have other options, don't you? I mean, you could make several different turns. It might not get you where you need to go, but you have options. Well, you know, there are a lot of people in this world who are making wrong decisions, choosing wrong options. It's like they're driving in the dark, and they're living their lives in such a way that they cannot find hope and help. Lost in sin, struggling to find their way. And Jesus Christ is saying to you and to me, be a light for them. Help them find their way. Help them make the right choice. To choose the right option of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. In Ephesians 5:8, you might want to make a note of that. Ephesians 5:8, notice what it says about light. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. And in this verse, it says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light." Isn't that beautiful? It's a reminder to you and to me that at one time we were in the dark, lost in our sins, far from God. And God reached out to us, and he loved us, and he gave us the light of his salvation, and he brought us to him, and we found our way to God. And now God is saying, the light you have received from me, live in that light. Share that light. Ephesians 5:8, you were once darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. Live as children of light. Put it into action. You know, when God created the world, he used four words that we must remember. When God created the world, found in Genesis 1:3, he said, let there be what? Light. Let there be light. And light occurred. Light happened. Sun and moon and stars. I think God is still saying that, those four words, to you and to me. Let there be light.
Let light come from your life. Christ life. Because the world really needs it. So, there is a, not only must we be salt, must Christ followers be salt and share salt. And not only must Christ followers be light and share light, but thirdly, Christ followers must be salt and light for the whole world. Did you notice that scripture in Matthew 5, verses 13 to 16? He says, you, and he's speaking to you and to you and to you and to you and to me. You are the salt of the what? Earth. And then later in verse 14, he says, you are the light of the world. So what Jesus is saying to his followers in the first century, and now to us as well, is that we have a global responsibility. We must be involved in world missions, right? He is expanding our horizons. Sometimes we suffer from too narrow a horizon, right? Maybe you're only focused on your own life. Maybe on just your family. Maybe just your career. Maybe just this church. Maybe just this state or this country. And Jesus opens our lives and expands our horizon when he says, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. The whole world needs what you have. Salt and light of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, be a global follower of Christ. Very, very important that we let our horizon go far beyond who we are and what we do. So, in conclusion, I want us to understand that Jesus has given us what the world desperately needs. He has given us his salt. He has given us his light. He has saved us from our sins. He loves us with a love that will never end. And he now calls us to go out into this world and make a difference in the world for his glory. Notice the present tense of those words in Matthew 5, 13 to 16. He says, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. He doesn't say, if you will read your Bible and if you'll pray a lot and go to church a lot, one day you will be salt and you will be light. He doesn't say that, does he? He is saying, you already are salt and light because of what God has done in your life. Therefore, not only be salt and light, but do salt and light in this world. Because you have to put into action what you already are. Therefore, be sure that you're ready to serve and use it for the glory of God. So, it's interesting to me that he's calling us salt and light. That's who we are. And so, I want to suggest a new name for this church. Can I do that? I mean, you probably won't put it on your letterhead or your station. But I want to suggest a new name. The new name is the Chinese Salt and Light Ministry of the Greater Tri-Cities. What do you think?
Great.
What do you think? The Chinese Salt and Light Ministry of the Greater Tri-Cities. That's exactly what he's saying, that you are. I mean, you already are that as the church. Therefore, be sure that you do that in this community, in this region, in this world. You are salt and light. And so because you already are that, it would be very appropriate for you just to turn to somebody and say, hey, salt, how you doing? How are you, light? Why don't you turn to somebody right now and just say, how you doing, salt? How you doing, light? How are you, salt? That's who you are. Be faithful to who you are in Christ Jesus. And let him use your life for his glory. There is one final word I want to mention about this passage of scripture. There is a note of judgment in this passage of scripture if you do not do what it says for you to do. And I want you to see that. We all need to see this. Notice in verse 13 what Jesus said. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. So Jesus is saying, it's possible for salt to lose its saltiness. So what do you have if salt isn't salty? I mean, what do you have? Sand? And what do you do with sand? You walk on it. And that's what Jesus is saying. It's not good for anything but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. Turn with me to Luke 14. Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 14. In verses 34 and 35. And notice what Luke says about this issue of salt. Luke 14, verses 34 and 35. Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is fit neither for the soil nor for the manure pile. Wow. It is thrown out. So Luke is saying salt that loses its saltiness is garbage. So I think the Word of God is calling on us to take a spiritual inventory of our life and try to determine how salty are we. How spiritually salty are we? Is Christ flavor flowing out of our lives? Are we working to permeate the culture? Are we seeking to preserve the things of God? Are we bringing healing in this world as God wants us to do? If not, there is a word of judgment here that we need to be aware of. And if your life is not very salty right now spiritually, God is present here and He is eager for you to turn to Him in a recommitment of your life. And maybe your prayer might need to be, oh God, thank you for what you've done for me. Help me to be more spiritually salty than I've ever been in my life, starting right now. And notice the judgment concerning light in verse 15. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone. The judgment is, what if a candle is under a bowl? Will it last very long? No, it'll go out. And if a candle light is under a bowl, will anybody be blessed by it? No, nobody can see it. So I think God is saying to you and to me, take a spiritual inventory of your life. How bright is your Christ light shining? Is it about to go out? Is it so dim that very few people can tell that you're a follower of Christ? And if there is a dimness in your life, a spiritual dimness in your life, ask God to help you remove the bowl. I don't know what kind of bowl is dimming your light. It might be sin. It might be despair. It might be relationship difficulties. But God is ready to remove the bowl so your Christ light can shine brightly. So maybe what you should pray today is, oh God, forgive me for allowing my light to be covered to the point that very few people know I'm your follower. And oh God, by your power, remove the bowl from my life that my Christ light might shine brightly for others. Is that a prayer that you need to pray? So I'd like for us to simply pray. We are a fellowship of salt and light. That's what the Lord calls us. So, my fellow salt and light, let us pray together. Thank you, O God, for speaking to us through your word. Thank you for coming into our lives and changing us from who we were to who we are. But Lord, we know there's a lot of work that still needs to be done in each of our lives. May your Spirit, Lord, work. May you change us more and more into your likeness, especially because we have come together for this hour of worship. Oh God, forgive us when we have failed to be salt Help us, oh God, to recover the saltiness that we need in order to be spiritually effective in this world. Thank you for bringing light into our lives, the light of your salvation, the light of your love, the light of hope in Christ Jesus and his resurrection. Forgive us, oh God, when we have allowed the things of our lives, the things of this world, to cover up our Christ light as if it were under a bowl. Oh God, please remove the bowl. Please help our light to shine brightly for you. Oh God, bring brightness, bring service, bring ministry, bring mission. Bless this church that it might be salty salt and bright lights for this community and far beyond. As we pray this together, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.